Chapter 8, the grace of strength. Surely the awesome Spirit of God wishes to do more within us than what is presently going on. To quote from Charles Swindoll, Lord, help the person that feels like they're good. God's done with me. I'm good. I've made it. There's no more growth. There's no more refinement. There's no more need for more. That's a glutton of grace to think such a thing. God is always going to be at work with us. We're works in progress all the way from here to home. Amen? The internal struggle that we'll feel in the midst of our battles to get out of Ziklag and go home, they'll be palpable. You and I, we will fight. Be like being with an addict that's dealing with the DTs and the sweats and literally coming up against the edge of death to get out of the grasp of death. I know that you know. This is real. Praise God for the strength that He gives us to come home. People feel caught in sin like a fish with a hook caught deep in its throat. They get to the point where they think, I can't do it. I can't. I'd rather live in this addiction or with this idol than to be set free. It'll hurt too much to rip the hook out of my throat. I'd rather just be brought into the boat, filleted up and eaten. What's the use? And God says, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. You're mine, and I'm going to give you the strength. Now, I'm not going to do it all for you. You've got a part to play here. Get up, and let's go. Sometimes it's an excuse to continue in sin's season of pleasure when people say, I can't. No, you won't. There's no can't if you're in Christ. Sometimes it's an excuse to continue in sin's season of pleasure. Other times, fear, shame, and or guilt will paralyze the soul. So we can move into Ziklag on our own strength. Make no mistake about that. It's downhill and smooth. You can ride right into town. But you can't come out of Ziklag on your own strength. He says it takes much more than willpower to cross the border and head home. Praise God. When David stood alone and everything seemed like it was crashing in on him, he turned to the Lord. He went back to the God that took down Goliath. As he stood alone, he realized that life in Ziklag always leaves us spiritually distanced. You don't think that you've gone adrift. You don't think that you're off course. You don't think that you've left the Lord. But you look around and all of a sudden, you're in this little tiny boat out in the middle of this vast ocean of lostness and disobedience. He said, how did that happen? All you had to do was stop cleaving to Christ and enjoy the breeze and be set adrift. And one day you wake up and you have no idea where you are. David found strength as he stood alone and he looked to his Lord. During his sojourn in Ziklag, David ignored and avoided God. But now, alone and afraid, David turned back to God and he found strength. He found strength in the grace that offered him unconditional love. He found strength in the grace that tenderly brought him to correction. He found grace and strength without some exacting of a pound of flesh that beat him down. He found strength in the grace of unqualified acceptance, like the prodigal dad. Shh, just come home. Shh, I'm not going to put you in the bunkhouse. You're my son. Get the robe. Get the sandals. Get the ring. He's come home. David knew this place. He also came to the realization that it was futile all this time that he was depending on himself, doing it in his own strength. There's a number of examples in the book of false placed hope. One of them is in the government. The now deceased Chuck Colson once said of those who put their hope and faith in the government, he said, listen, the kingdom of God is not going to be ushered in on Air Force One. Stop looking to Washington and start worshiping. See, God hears the prayers of a destitute soul. My favorite prayer in all the Bible, tax collector, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God hears the prayers of a destitute soul. David was destitute here. Hebrews 11 reminds us of those who conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, withstood the flames, and escaped the sword. These men and women are those who, quote, whose weakness was turned to strength. It's when you and I surrender to victory that we know the valiant march of the victorious family of God. Paradoxically, our waving the white flag says more. Our waving the white flag of submission to God's right over our lives is the key that unlocks the gate to many future victories in his name. Surrender to victory, surrender to victory, surrender to victory. Our desperate need for God brings his strength. Be strong and courageous. Listen to how God incorporates the new leadership of Joshua. Moses, perhaps the biggest leader, biggest shoes to ever have to follow in. Joshua was nervous. Mighty Joshua, he was nervous, respecting the size of the responsibility that he had now been given. God speaks to him in the way he speaks to you and me. Again, the grace of strength. God's word, not some motivational speaker, not some self-help guru, not somebody who's just trying to give you a little pick-me-up. God speaks. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's Joshua 1. Oh, that we would come to harness and to thank the Lord for the strength that he gives us. God caused walls in Jericho, the walls of Jericho, to come tumbling down. He will cause whatever is standing between you and a life of faithful obedience to come tumbling down as well. This again, friends, is why I say to you, when the trip to Ziklag seems to be wrapped in what is pleasing and pleasant, and what's wrong with that? It's Ziklag. That's what's wrong with that. It's not the place of faithful obedience. It's because we don't believe that the walls of our Jericho can come tumbling down. The problem is unbelief. We don't believe in the strength and the promise of our King. There is strength in the Holy Spirit. Listen, he says to us in Acts 1:8 that you will receive this power, specifically to be the witness of Christ. That's why you have the power, so that you can witness, that your walk will not be in Ziklag, but that your walk will be that of one like a light, like a pillar of salt, like an ambassador. Moore says, just as impossible as it is for us to stay out of Ziklag on our own strength, so it is impossible to leave Ziklag in our own strength. Thankfully, strength is not self-generated. Amen. Believers have the Holy Spirit of the living God residing in them. Only he will lead us out of the land of the enemy and back home to the land of obedience. Only he can get it done. Zephaniah 3:17 reminds us of five characteristics of the great God who longs to bring us back home and who gives us the strength to return. Listen to these five things that come from Zephaniah 3:17. Number one, the Lord your God is in your midst. If you are a believer, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, a mighty one will save us. Our King saves us. Three, he will rejoice over you with gladness. Get this, and it's going to get better. He doesn't just rescue us and bring us home. He rejoices over us. He will quiet you by his love. You want peace? There's no peace in Ziklag. There's no peace in the wearing of masks. There's no peace in the cover-ups. There's peace in Christ. Last part that you see in this verse, I had not noticed this before. This just blessed me. The Lord will exalt over you with loud singing. We know what it is to sing to God. He will sing over us with a loud voice. It's the celebration of the prodigal dad. When we come home to know that coming home brings to him great joy. Amen. But those songs that he wants to sing, they're hard to hear in Ziklag. You won't hear them in Ziklag. God is so much more for you than living in enemy territory, friends. Some thoughts to reflect upon. Why are we so tempted to trust the strength of men rather than the power of God? Why are we so tempted to trust the ways of the world, the strength of ourselves, rather than trust the promises of God? Describe a time when you faced a daunting assignment and experience an extraordinary sense of God's strength. When you know that you know that you know that he brought you through. I personally have perhaps never felt the presence of God more powerfully and palpably than standing in that stinking dungeon in Washington, D.C. in front of that dreadful little incubator and watching my little boy fight for life. When the Lord came and met me there, his throne dominated the room. I came to know that I know that I know that what I believe, I believe. Amen. Can you relate to the quote, a superficial relationship with God made up of words without feelings and struggles without healings? In the context of the chapter, there was a reference to those who have a superficial relationship with God. The superficial relationship is made up with words that have empty meanings and struggles that know no healing. This is the most miserable person you'll ever meet in your life. The person who knows the truth but does not accept it. They're haunted by the rules without a redemptive relationship. The most miserable person on the planet, categorically, is this person. And if you love them, you'll bring truth and love to them. They may throw rocks at you. They may shoot you, literally, in parts of the world. They may cut your head off. But if you love them like Jesus, and he's called you to them, you'll bring the truth and love, no matter what. Last thought. What steps can you take to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? What steps can you take right now to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? And with all due respect to our charismatic friends, this has nothing to do with some demonstrative carnival act. This is all about your personal relationship with the Lord, as outlined in the Word of God, and empowered by the Spirit of God. The question is, how can you grow as the people of God? Good thoughts to take into chapter 9.